Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
We're back. Welcome to another episode of the Bobo and Flex Show. My name is Bobo and I'm your host, and I'm with the beautiful Flex, also known as Flex Mommy. Today we're talking about hookup culture. A very necessary conversation about not just sex, but the culture around sex as millennials, mm-hmm. which basically is just hookup culture. Wow, we're probably going to divide this into two episodes because we have so many listener questions around hookup culture. So we'll start off with just, you know, a discussion, and then, yeah, and then we'll move into the questions. Flex.
Amen.
Okay, so you've been single now for how long have you been single? Because you were in a really long-term relationship and now you're single. But you've also cut off all your hoes.
Yeah. So I'm like super single.
Wow. How does that feel, by the way? So and why have you opted out of hookup culture?
It's brand new. So I think I've been out of a long-term relationship like 10 months or something. So significant. And then I dropped all my hoes like maybe a month ago. Maybe a bit more, maybe less. I'm not sure. Yeah. But for context, I am an advocate for hookup culture, but not in the way that it's been popularized. So we can make that distinction early on. I think there is a lot necessary in hookup culture. I attribute it to my sexual liberation. I found that there are a lot of things that I would not have even thought to have done or conversations I would have never had if not for having the space and agency to do it outside of a committed, loving relationship. I think often that your needs can be secondary in a loving relationship, the way we're socialized to be vessels for men. But recently I opted out of hookup culture. And for me, it was a very rational decision. My whole point of engaging in sexual activity or dating, hookup culture, whatever you want to call it, is one of two things. Great sex, not average, not below average, very good sex, like,
yeah,
we're nutting, we're enjoying, we're connecting, we're present, or right. A husband.
I'm with that. Okay,
tell me why I wasn't getting either to the extent that I wanted it,
right?
And my frustration is that has always been my mission, but it wasn't front of mind. I got so wrapped up in the sort of commodification and the marketing of hookup culture that I realized that I was perpetuating standards that weren't even mine. Like, it has always been the way. Good dick, husband. That's it.
Right.
Anything in right. between was not, that's not my portion. So recently I had to evaluate because I had quite a number of hoes, about 4 or 5. Okay. But the frustration was no hoe was giving me anything that I needed consistently. So you might have some, like, some was great dick and then the next thing was average dick. Or some came with more emotional baggage than I was ready to endure because we hadn't built a foundation of a relationship anyway. It was just the sex that was now evolving into a relationship, which is not what I signed up for. Granted, right. I'm very open to foundations of relationships that evolve into sex, but realistically, if it's just sex, I don't feel like as though I need to hold space for you and your emotional baggage. Or people that had great minds but were just terrible, like, romantic partners. And I just thought, none of this is what I wanted. And I became very aware of blocking my blessings for the benefit of whoomst. You know, like, of course...
For the benefit of whoomst.
And, of course, we spoke about it a couple episodes ago where you mentioned that you didn't think that casual sex was ever really casual. And I fought you on that. I was like, it can be casual. I do believe that casual sex can be casual. But...
How?
But the frustration is... If you're with one person, often you're given room and the agency for it to transition into something less casual just by proximity. If you're if you are dating more than one person, yes, each of those individual relationships can be casual, but if you consolidate all of them, that is a whole relationship with none of the benefits. So I was giving my time, my energy, my emotional space, my vagina, like all of this to all these different people and being like, no, it's fine. But if you amalgamate it, that's so much time gone. I could have done, found a husband. I could have enrolled to be a counselor. I could have made myself some meal prep for the week. Like, I could have done so many things, but I was so wrapped up in like, no, it's casual, chill, I've got time. I don't have time. And so for me, right, I had to make a considered decision to be like, what are you even doing? None of these things are really worth it. You could stand to live without all of these men. So just cut them loose.
Yeah.
And so I did. And I know that's not a decision a lot of people can make because they really hold, or they really associate their self-esteem and their value with how men respond to them, you know? So maybe for the average person, cutting off hoes isn't conducive to feeling liberated. But for me, I was like, now I've got room to think about what I really need and want. And for me, my whole thing is, I've said it before, that I often use sex as a currency, which is not very good in those casual hookup scenarios, because I'm building currency here and then looking at people like pawns, for instance, like almost dehumanizing people for the sake of just having this really casual experience. You know what I mean? And so even when things could have had room to be less casual, I was like, no, this is my boundary. This is my boundary. No, this can't go anywhere. No, I don't have to be mindful of your feelings. No, this is my boundary. And that's just dumb bitch shit. And it's really immature. So I have to step back and be like, you know what? Be a mature bitch. And when you're ready to be a mature bitch through and through, you also attract mature bitches.
Right. Yeah, I'm just not convinced about hookup culture. I made a post about this on my Instagram where I said that I don't think hookup culture benefits women. Mm. And for the most part, I think it's because I don't think we've built a society in which we're liberated enough as women to actually enjoy hookup culture and for it to actually be conducive or for our benefit. Actually, let me retract. I think we enjoy it. I think it can be enjoyable, but I don't think it can be beneficial to any like straight woman, if we're being honest, because I don't think we are sexually liberated. I think we've deluded ourselves as a society into believing that we're sexually liberated. And I think in order for hookup culture and like casual sex to be healthy, we actually have to be both psychologically and physically and emotionally liberated. I think a lot of women still perceive themselves and their bodies as just a conduit for a man's nut. I think a lot of women still don't know where their clitoris is, but they want to engage in sex casually.
Wow.
It doesn't add up, sis. It doesn't add up, fam. Ouch. And I think hookup culture just creates an environment where women actually feel pressured to perform liberation as opposed to actually doing the work to actually liberate themselves from their thought prisons. So I just don't think we're there yet.
That hurt so many feelings. Literally everybody is crying. Not one person came out of that fresh. Not one person.
Look, I also wonder, you were saying you use, you feel like you use people as pawns when it comes to like hookup culture and it becomes very transactional. Do you think it's possible for a man who's been living in a world and has been socially conditioned to see women as objects for his own consumption, is it possible for him to opt out of that frame of thinking and actually enjoy sex with a woman casually and still see her as a human being? Or is it just, it can't happen? I just don't think it's possible.
I mean, I think this is where like the Madonna whore complex comes in. We can talk about that now or later. I don't know which one you want to do.
What's the Madonna whore complex?
So the Madonna whore complex is like a theory first identified by Freud. And it's the idea that it's like a psychological complex. It's the idea that men see women as saintly virgin or whores and nothing in between.
Ooh.
So often that men might encounter women, be able to sleep with them, and then only see them in a sexual light and then can't desexualize them or humanize them.
Yes, that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah. And it can translate to the idea that, you know, when men, hetero men, are in committed loving relationships with women, they find it difficult to maintain sexual arousal because they've elevated them to this virgin status, this like holier than thou, perfect woman, she's amazing, therefore I can't degrade her with something so low as sex. So I do think that feeds in some way, but obviously it can manifest in different ways for different people. I don't know. I just, my thing is, I think hookup culture has benefited women, but just not when you put it in contrast to what men gain from it. So it wasn't as though the playing field has leveled out. We've all just elevated, but we've maintained the same amount of distance from each other.
The same hierarchy. Yeah. That's, yeah, I agree with that fully. Because again, I think we now, we can actually enjoy sex. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. you know? But I think like enjoyment versus benefit are two very different things.
Oh, they're very different. Very, very different.
Yeah. And so a lot of women have the argument of like, yeah, but like I enjoy casual sex, but are you benefiting sexually, psychologically, and emotionally from that?
It goes back to intent versus impact.
There we go.
It never starts and it never stops. So, you know, for those of you who aren't convinced, like I wasn't, because initially when Bobo shared this, I was like, I'm going to opt out of this conversation. But I took some time to really think about, you know, the sexual relationships that I was engaging with. And realistically, have I ever felt like I've gotten more than the other party? And I've never, ever, ever engaged in a sexual or romantic relationship with a man and felt as though I was getting more out of it than they were. And that is on God.
Wow.
Not once, ever.
Wow. Why is that? What were you getting versus what were they getting? Well, if
I'm not, if I don't, like, in some, I'm going to feel more sexually experienced or like more like I'm more like I'm not centering my own sexual pleasure, or that I'm more intelligent, or I need to appear less intelligent, just things like that, just constant battle of having to, you know, what's the word, condition myself to enjoy the experience by not acknowledging the reality of the experience. So condition myself to sleep with an asshole who's got great stroke because that's what I need to do to enjoy this sex right now. Or condition myself to not acknowledge that this man and his internalized misogyny is rife because, you know, he gives great conversation. Like the things you might need to do to make sure, you just need to like get over the hump of this sexual experience. But for those of you who aren't convinced, listen to this list of what hookup culture has or hasn't done for women. Again, hetero lens, mind your business. and let me know if this resonates with you at all. We'll talk about it later on after the episode. So this is a list of what hookup culture hasn't done. It hasn't challenged men to rethink female sexuality. It hasn't stopped them from viewing women as sexual objects. It hasn't given all women the same respectability as textbook respectable, non-promiscuous female archetypes. And what I mean by that is men aren't viewing like sexually promiscuous women, sex workers, whatever on that spectrum, with the same level as respect as they're viewing a virgin or one body count or Miss, I don't like to get choked, or I would never. Like, we're not viewed as equals. One is viewed as worthy of being degraded, and one is viewed as worthy of being elevated, and often those two don't intersect. It hasn't taught men to raise themselves to higher standards as sexual or romantic partners.
There we go.
And this is what we talk about with the fucking orgasm gap, with the not having one to have sexual discussions, because you encourage shitty behavior by not encouraging better behavior. So
I'm crying.
Not that men should have to work more hard or less hard to get your nut or to get in your pants. It's not what we're saying. But it's the idea that the conversations women are having with women are about ways in which men can improve their sexual experience. And when push comes to shove and you're in a position when you are engaging with sex with a man, you're not holding him accountable. And that is on that. I'm guilty too. You know what I mean? There's some ways.
No, same. Like, I'm thinking about myself. Right? Oh, I'm in my bag right
now. I'm outing myself being like, okay, yes, you specialize. Because often I'm like, you know what? This is what I need to do to get my nut. I can't worry about educating this man right now. I can't worry about, you know, trying to up and down back. No. I just need to do this for myself. And again, intent versus impact. The impact of that is that this man now thinks that his subpar, you know, sexual prowess is now of a good standard. Tell me why I can talk to a number of women who can say with their whole heart and their whole chest that a man has not made them orgasm, but I will talk to any hetero man who'll swear up and down every woman he sleeps with orgasms.
Yep, that he gives strokes.
Come on.
Like,
What? Make it make sense.
It doesn't add up.
It's not adding up.
It doesn't add up.
I did the algebra. I did the Pythagoras. And I swear to you.
I went to business school and it still doesn't add up.
We did a SWOT analysis and again.
It's still not adding up. Whew. I can't. Wow.
It hasn't made men more sexually responsible of accepting the consequences of hookups. So like STI talk, we're talking pregnancy, right. We're talking aftercare. Caring for these people that you penetrate with sheer force. You know, where is the post-coital cuddles, babes?
Listen, where is all that? I once had a whole pregnancy scare and this nigga said, let me know when you take the birth control pill. I was like, excuse me, are you not Venmoing me the money?
Men
to take
said,
the $75 pill.
Men said, I can't get pregnant, so that's on you.
And that's when I said, no. I need to start thinking more critically about who I let inside and near me.
Absolutely.
Because this can't happen. It just can't happen.
Because it also informs your future sexual experiences that you might now walk into sex with baggage or with excess trauma because, you know, we're not holding people accountable. And granted, it takes two tango. So this is not a man's problem or a woman's problem or a person's problem or a non-binary. Like, it's just it's not gendered. It is just the frustration with sex at the moment. And the last thing, or the last two things that I think are probably the most important, hookup culture has not ended rape culture. Ooh. So making women more sexually available to men without this sort of like manipulation or persuasion hasn't stopped the assaults, babies.
It absolutely has not.
It hasn't made men more consent conscious.
Wow.
So what we've acknowledged,
what has it done?
So, well, what it has done is made women more sexually available. And
but without any effort.
Exactly. And it's also made women conform to this male sexual fantasy of endlessly sexually available women.
Yeah.
You know? So again, yes, it has contributed to the sexual liberation of women, to like it's done all these things that are fundamentally really important for us to advance. But if we're going to measure things in a transactional nature, like I believe we should be doing more often, then we would understand that, damn, like, we really still not getting much out of this. Because it's the same men who will turn around and be like, yeah, but women still need to do this. And yeah, like, sure, she let me bust it wide open, but, you know, she didn't write it like I wanted to. And yeah, maybe, like, she did. You know, it's always more that they're going to be wanting. And I really, it's my own male friends who talk day in, day out about how, like, if women did this, then sex would be more enjoyable for them. And women have to do this and blah, blah, blah. So, again, it hasn't even made them more privy to the women's experience. Like, I was talking to a friend of mine who was, like, trying to explain that, you know, he just found it so sad that so many women haven't experienced the pleasure of climaxing with a partner. I'm like, are you really speaking from empathy? Or are you trying to, again, make this, like, a women's problem? Because it's not cute. You know what I mean? It's actually quite frustrating that, like, on average, maybe a woman might be able to have more sex, as much sex as a man will, hetero women, again, but will experience vastly less pleasure.
Wow.
Like, it's not cute. Like, I don't really care to hear a man's sympathy or empathy about that topic. It's not even about that. Like, let's get some results going. Like, what can we actually do here? And one of the things, and again, I'm not saying that sex is a currency that we should give or withhold or whatever. It's about being more mindful about our intention versus our impact. I know my intent was to increase, you know, my sexual experience, to liberate me, to have a better understanding of how sex intersects with relationships in me. And I got all that information. And what that information told me is I got to opt out for the foreseeable future. Because it wasn't leading me to, because again, realistically, you can't tell if someone has good stroke before you fuck them. You can be like, oh yeah, if you dance well, it means you have good stroke. And if you're a good kisser, no, babes, it really
absolutely
doesn't.
Not.
And to hear me going, okay, let me get my quantity up so I can start getting quality, it doesn't help. Like, what you need to do is like, usually it's the singular partner you have for an extended period of time that helps with building, like, you know, the skills and whatever and that. But, like, again, I'm not advocating for monogamy or, you know, exclusive relationships either. I'm just saying that hookup culture isn't conducive to better sex or better relationships, the same way monogamy isn't conducive to better relationships or more committed relationships.
I'm crying.
Know what I'm saying?
And that's actually the title of your next book.
Oh.
Because there we have it.
There we have it. And, like, my whole thing is, as someone who advocates hookup culture, it's important to me that I communicate that it isn't all good nuts and good strokes. And this is why Facilitate Your Own Nut is a full campaign, babe.
It's a, like, movement.
Everybody is waiting for this perfect person who's going to give them that stroke. And let me tell you, you will sooner find your optimal nut on your own than you having will. To teach someone to provide it to you. Because what happens when you rely on that one nut provider and the nut provider fucks off, and then you are nutless.
And you played yourself.
You played yourself.
You played yourself because you could have just been facilitating your own nut.
This whole time.
Never be dependent on any man for a nut.
On any person for anything. Mind your business. For,
yeah.
Like, you need to know that if something was going to be taken from you, you'd be sufficient enough to get it back. Oh, and this absolutely. Is why I'm a glass half full bitch. The other day, I was like, what even is a glass half empty? I can't even change my mind to think about what that even looks like. Because when I see a glass that is halfway full, even if someone is drinking out of it, I know there is more liquid coming. It is a never-ending well.
That is the frequency I exist on.
So it doesn't, like, matter how much liquid is in how the vessel. I vibrate. Yes, it absolutely. Doesn't matter. So this is the frustration. And I think, you know, a big people who prefer not to engage in hookup culture are always talking about, you know, like, what, like, how do you like do something so intimate? How do you detach yourself from feelings? Like, why are we prioritizing games instead of emotional connection? And so that's what I want to get on, because I know that you Ooh. Are a big fan of hookup culture. So do you think it's almost encouraged us to lose the ability to truly connect
Absolutely.
In favor of game playing and detaching our emotions and all that shit?
Absolutely. I think hookup culture is also built and rooted in the foundation of manipulation and games. Mm. As opposed to, like, emotional openness and trust. If we don't have the range as a society to facilitate open, transparent, honest, brazen, candid conversations about our sexual fantasies and desires, where are we going to find the range to have open, transparent, brazen, candid conversations about our emotions? And, like, I just don't think it's realistic. I think the idea of casual sex is an oxymoron, because just the act of, and this is where this is going to be an unpopular opinion, I think the biology of sex itself informs emotional connection for women. I think the fact that a man is inserting himself in you, I think you cannot escape the emotional connection that happens there. I think, like, we are not inserting anything in them, but they are actually inserting anything in us. And I believe in energy. I believe in energy exchanges. So I believe that there is, if not emotions, there is an energy exchange happening there, and it is the woman that's carrying the energy after the event has taken place. The man, he gets it out and he can go burden-free. Not always, but by and large, I just think the biology and the physicality of heteronormative sex, it just means that you can't escape the energy exchange that takes place. And it's imbalanced. It's imbalanced. And so I think it is rooted in manipulation and games. I think it encourages us, because if something is casual, then you don't need to be open and, like, honest and transparent. And I remember having an experience with this guy who just took the condom off while we were, which, by the way, is rape. He just took the condom off, like, during sex. And I think, like, the fact that it was casual for him made it even more okay. Like, yeah, but, like, it's okay. Like, it's not, you know, it was in the heat of the moment and it's cat. And it's like, we didn't have a conversation beforehand about consent or this and this and that, because this is casual sex. You're not my husband. Like, you're not, you know, like, we don't need to do all of that. Yes, you do. You are letting a human being inside of you. You're exchanging bodily fluids. You're exchanging energies. Why are we not having open, candid, transparent conversations about consent, about emotional connectivity? What are your thoughts? Do you think it's facilitated openness and honesty?
Oh, or not? No. Because, again, like with most things. I think people are stuck in a narrative, and we all know how to perform and how to present as anything but what we really feel. Mm-hmm. So I do believe that a lot of hookup culture is rooted in this whole narrative of what it means to appear as somebody who's engaging in it properly. You know, like, I fuck Ooh. Heaps of people, I'm always getting my nut, I never text them back, or whatever you want to say.
Yeah, like, I'm However. That nigga, like, I'm yeah. that.
And I was, you know, I was a bit conflicted with the soul ties thing, because I exist as, like, a spiritual skeptic. Like, I believe everything and nothing. I'd like it all to be true. I'd like it all to be false. And so with that in mind, I just like to collect data and information. And so I did my due diligence and did some research on soul ties and energy ties. And when I think about it from a spiritual perspective, it connected with me less than thinking about it on a neurochemical perspective, and thinking about the amount of oxytocin and dopamine and serotonin that peaks when you're in a situation that provides you with so much pleasure. And you start associating pleasure and that positive emotional response with this person who's providing you said pleasure. So that's why I can understand why a lot of people who may be more empathetic or whatever it might be cannot engage in hookup culture, because, again, they're very aware of that exchange of, like, chemical responses and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, yes, that was one of those things that put me off, like, that encouraged me to cut off the hose. Because I was like, damn, am I really taking on all this shit? But interestingly, this doctor, his name is Daniel Amen, and that's when I knew I needed to share this word.
Yeah.
He said, generally, whenever a person is sexually involved with another person, consensually, and they're enjoying it, neurochemical changes occur in both their brains that encourage limbic emotional bonding. And limbic bonding is the reason why casual sex doesn't really work for most people on a whole mind and body level. Because sex is generally enhancing an emotional bond between them, whether you really want it or not. So you might see somebody, this is how you can, like, fuck someone that you hate. Because even if you fundamentally dislike them as a person, they're still encouraging a positive chemical response within you. And it's hard to disassociate between, like, where it came from, where it started, where it stopped. So with that in mind, I was, like, backtracking on a few of, like, the relationships that I had. And when I cut off, like, the fuck buddy I had for, like, 5 years or whatever, I was thinking, no wonder I'm such a mean bitch when I'm around him, because he's fundamentally a narcissistic, self-involved, self-absorbed sociopath who has very little regard for the way he moves in the world. And I was like, I swear I was that person in that sexual dynamic. I was so selfish, so self-absorbed. I was like, whatever, it's not even my problem if he's caught feelings. He's a grown-up, 31. He can get it together. That's not my bad. It's like, oh, well, babe, it's like, you can also be empathetic towards people, you know? Again, intent versus
That's
impact.
That's so interesting.
And it didn't click to me until I read this article, and I was like, well, damn. Oh, okay.
No, I 100% believe in soul ties. I mean, I think, like, even if someone is literally standing right next to you, or someone is having a conversation with you, there is an energy exchange happening.
Mm-hmm.
So we just cannot deny that there's an energy exchange happening during sex.
Absolutely. And I think I also think communication around soul ties, I feel like, is a bit, what's the word?
Oh, it's a bit like woo-woo. Like,
yeah,
where
is my soul? And how is it attaching to your soul right now?
So
I was doing more research into sort of trying to identify, like, what is a soul tie? When is it positive? When is it negative? How do you know? Like, how much of your experience with this person is rooted in your perception of the experience, or is something really being exchanged? And I came across this blog that was talking a bit about unhealthy soul ties and how to identify when you're within one. And I was like, damn, this is really interesting. And so, you know, the first one is what I mentioned before, when you take on the negative traits of that person and you carry them out, whether or not you consciously agree with them. Fuck, it's my doorbell. 1 second.
I love that this always happens.
Literally. Hold on 1 second. Okay, I've returned.
There she is.
So, as I was saying, so when you take on the negative traits, blah, 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 this second one is very interesting. When you're in a...
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Physically and or emotionally and or spiritually abusive relationship, but you feel so attached to them that you refuse to cut off the connection and set boundaries. Interesting. Next one, you've left the relationship maybe long ago, maybe shortly, but you think about the other person obsessively and you can't get them out of your mind. It feels like almost an involuntary act.
Interesting.
When you defend your right to stay in a relationship with that with this person, even though it's negatively affecting or destroying the important relationships in your life. So,
yeah,
one could argue that could be a number of things.
Yeah, I think those are more neurochemical and more like linked to the dopamine that that person.
But again, I feel like if we were to look at this concept from a less spiritually fueled lens, in the same way that like manifesting to some is just prayer to the other or wishful thinking or whatever you want to call it. It is neurochemical energy, whatever you want to call it. It's just the idea that in some way it is hard to remove yourself or somebody else from you because you can't really identify how and in what way somebody has affected you. The same way you don't know this, like how the way you've been reared as a child affects you as an adult. You can't really identify, you know, how certain friendships inhibit you subconsciously or whatever you want to call it. So that was really interesting. And I was like, well, damn, now I really got to protect my punsy and my mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's not so much about like being like, you must only have sex with one person.
No.
It's just about being intentional with who you have sex with. And I don't think hookup culture promotes that because hookup culture is rooted in enjoyment and not benefit. And so we're not thinking about like the psychological, emotional effects. We're just thinking about pleasure. And what is the benefit of pleasure? Like, what is that? You know what I mean? We can't just be pursuing pleasure aimlessly. Like, that's not going to do anything for us.
And it's interesting, though, because reading that, the whole idea of soul ties, made me more, fearful is not the word, conscious of the consequences of hookup culture than, like, getting an STI or experiencing sexual trauma or anything. I was like, well, damn, my soul's going to be compromised.
Literally, like...
I was like, okay, well, that's going to happen.
Like, you can compromise my pussy, but not my soul.
Yeah, but not my soul. Mm-mm. Jeez, that's when I knew this is an important one. But let us go back up to hookup culture as a whole. And I have this theory, well, not this theory, but I want to talk about where you think hookup culture intersects with sexual dissatisfaction.
Ooh.
Because it's interesting to me how we've been touted the hookup generation. Yeah. So one might presume that we are hooking up more often or having more sexually gratifying experiences or feeling more sexually empowered to speak on certain topics. But is that really translating when it's taken off the virtual space? Because I think it's very easy to appear sexually liberated when you are able to communicate about hookup culture generally. So you can tweet about it, you can tell a friend about what you would do if you had a dick nearby, or you take a promiscuous photo and talk about how you XYZ'd. But is that really translating to the actual act of hookup culture? Because I find that like the discussion of it almost inflates the actual practice. Like hookup culture in movies is like really cut and dry and fast and like, yes, and we're getting it in and we're getting it out and like we're cutting ties. But really, in real life, it's generally a slower burn, a slower process. You're feeling somebody out. Are we interested? Do you want to part? Like, it's not as cut and dry. So I think, are we stigmatizing the experience by, I guess, living in it in such a virtual way? Like, I know for sure when I talk about sex, everyone's like, well, fuck, you must be really, like, doing things and getting it in. I'm like, no, I'm just having sex frequently, but I don't know about the tricks. It's like the kink episode we just had. Right. When, like, I think people would be surprised to find out that we both rate so highly in vanilla, because people associate right. the communication of sex with like crazy sex and wild sex. And you might be like right. getting in and hooking up and crazy, but it's not the case. And so if you're coming into hookup culture as a late, you know, a late, what do you call it? A late adopter, then are you going to be so confused by the fact that, like, you know, your people aren't just getting it all the time, and we don't just like fuck somebody raw and move on, and like, we've got to be yeah. like, care for people.
I think there's absolutely a difference between performing sexual liberation and hookup culture versus being an active participant in it. And I think there's like this pressure, because everything, every like movement or culture has its own aesthetic. And the aesthetic of hookup culture is very collegey. It's very like girls with mini skirts who are drunk, and like, you know, like there's a whole aesthetic, and like, it's like this cool thing. But the reality of it is that it requires so much emotional labor, and which for me is such a paradox, because we look at emotional labor as this like thing that we should err away from, but then we look at hookup culture as this cool, glamorized, trendy thing, when the two intersect so heavily. And it's like, you can't exercise sex, healthy hookup culture, without being ready for hefty emotional labor.
Wow.
And that's the tea. So, and I just think, like, we're not there yet as a generation, as women, as men, as the gays. Maybe the gays are ready.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
All I know is that sex workers are doing it right. Everybody else is like, nah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because sex workers understand that sex is transactional, whether you like it or not.
Absolutely.
Whether you like... So, how do you feel about getting paid for sex?
I would love to get paid. I did ask... for the last few times I slept with the long-term fuck buddy, I asked for a tip. I was like, I'd like a tip, please. Like, wow. I just don't feel like I want to engage in this unless I'm getting paid. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I feel quite strongly about this. Like, I just don't...
I love
like,
that energy.
Because he came over with coke dick, which I think is rude. I just think it's rude. It's, like, not considerate. And, like, you're already here. It's 1 a.m. I could have been asleep right now. Now you're feeling vulnerable but confident. Like, the comparisons are out of whack. You want... And it's like, I didn't sign up for all of this. And, like, all I wanted was the good stroke. And I'm not going to get that until the morning. So now I got to spend, like, 8 extra hours with you. No. Like, you can please, like, leave a tip. And so we did. And I was like, great. And this is great. So, big
no,
fan
absolutely.
Of that.
I think my last fuck buddy, but he's really rich though. He would always get me gifts, and we'd always have like a proper like real life conversation, either before or after. Because he's really wise. We'd just like talk about my life. He'd give me advice. He'd help me out with whatever. But he'd always like have a gift, and I appreciated that. And also, he'd always have a car come pick me up, and then drop me off to wherever he was, and then bring me back.
Yes.
And those are my stand... And that's also low-key why I prefer being a side chick over being a girlfriend half the time. Because you're getting all the benefits without any of the trash.
I'm
but
yelling, but
once
also,
again... once again, it has to be understood that, like, this dynamic is transactional, and that there is an... And we're not playing ourselves here. There's an energy exchange happening here. I'm fond of you as a human being, like, fundamentally as a human being. I like who you are in the world. And so, like, we can do this. Because, again, like, I said this in our previous episode about kinky sex. I think the healthy thing to do is not to like fuck 55,000 people in the name of hookup culture, but rather to have one or two people who are just your designated sex buddies, who allow you to explore your deepest sexual without judgment.
We've been saying.
Because you can't designate that role to your husband or boyfriend, who's also your best friend, your therapist, your this,
your confidant, your chef, your driver, your doctor.
The person you take out the trash with, the person you wake up with their morning breath. No. You can just have one person, doesn't matter the gender or sexual orientation, just one person who you just openly and freely explore all your sexual fantasies and desires and fears and like everything around sex. Like, you guys just do that together, and there you have it, you know.
But we're not there yet.
I think
yet.
That's a healthy alternative not to there yet. Hookup culture.
Like, people still aren't even, you know, like, asking people out on, like, to hang out on dates. Like, people can't even Imagine. Clarify what they want from, like, a very easy hangout for 3 hours, let alone, like, a really honest trend. Nah, people aren't there yet. I just don't think so. And I don't know what went wrong either, because how did we all get sucked into this narrative? Not we all, but how did people...
Hip-hop.
Yeah!
Let me be that person.
Lol, you tried it. It's just...
I know.
Because when you think about it realistically, do people actually want to gamble on their sexual experiences by going at it with heaps of different people? Or do we just want sex and are too scared of verbalizing that to the person that we're trying to fuck for fear that the person will think they're trying to trap them into a relationship? Because I think the thing is, people don't look at sex and committed relationships as two separate entities. So if you want sex and you want a lot of it, you must be trying to use this as a tool to be in a relationship with me. And it's one of those things where people can't check their egos. Like, I will talk to all friends, all genders. As soon as a hookup relationship starts to transition to something more frequent, someone's like, oh, they're probably going to try and, like, ask me out. They're really keen. They're really interested. Like, we just can't have the best of both worlds because you hoes can't invite nuance into your life.
Wow.
And when I say you hoes, I mean me hoes too.
In what ways do you think you're problematic when it comes to casual sex?
I think that I just, because I don't like to role play romance, I think that I can be very...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, very cut and dry. Like, so, like, I don't do the whole, like, if I'm on a date, I don't do the whole, like, and we're going to inch closer, and then we're going to, like, our knees are going to touch, and then we're going to be like...
Oh, my God, that's just be like,
this is so fun. You should come over later on, and we should have really great sex. Like, I would just prefer to say it that way. Wow. And so I think that kind of approach makes people think that I don't want soft or, like, considered sex, that I'm just here for, like, a rough fuck because of my rough approach to it. And so I right. think it can be a bit of a head fuck. People are kind of like, well, but you just like, we're gonna do this, and, like, now you want to, like, cuddle, and, like, you're sending me mixed signals. I'm like, I'm not really. I just think you're not allowing me nuance. And right. but I think that's a lot of, not a lot, but I think the way we've been socialized to view hookup culture, asking somebody to give me the space to want a complex sexual experience is asking for too much. And I could acknowledge that, you know what I mean? Because I think on the flip side, for a lot of sexual experiences, I don't want to be somebody's caregiver and caretaker. And so I opted out. That's what I think is fair to do. But it's the people who are heavy players in hookup culture who aren't almost making their experience malleable to benefit their own experience as well. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just think that everybody's playing a game and everybody thinks they're not. And it's the same. I remember speaking, it might have been like months ago now, but speaking to a friend of mine about how, you know, a girl that he's seeing wants to hang out so often, and, you know, he doesn't even understand why, because they established this was just a hookup thing and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, where do you think she would have gotten that wrong impression? And he was like, I don't know. Like, we had a conversation about, like, it just being sex, but, like, I don't know. Can't I just cook for people and have them not catch feelings? Like, can't I just invite you to hang out with my friends and have you not catch feelings? I'm like, you have to be responsible for how somebody interprets your actions. Like, you can't just leave it on them. That is fundamentally so irresponsible, so selfish, immature. I do it too, and therefore I opt out, because you have to acknowledge that, like, your biased perception of the world is not universal. And so if you know that your behavior can be misinterpreted, you have to clarify. Be a grown-up, you know?
I know. I'm struggling with that right now. There's a guy who I realized yesterday, he thinks we're in a relationship.
What?
And it's literally...
I'm honestly not talking to you.
Why?
What kind of phrasing? He thinks we're in a relationship. I said, what?
And I just think, like, I don't really understand, because I just thought I was just being friendly. But I guess he interpreted all of that as, like, oh, like, this is my girlfriend.
How?
And so just by, like, us hanging out or texting and this and this and that. And so now, instead of having the hard conversation, being like, hey, I actually already have a boyfriend. Do you mind if
we're just... Oh, gosh.
Do you mind if we're just homies? Instead, I've ghosted him.
This is how we clarify that you are, in fact, the emotional terrorist. It is not I. It is not I.
I just think guys have it so twisted. Like, guys literally cannot fathom that a girl could just not have the intention to, like, suck their dick. So everything you do must be taken as romantic or sexual.
Mm.
And, like, now we're in this conundrum. So, yeah, but I'm... You know, being accountable for my actions and realizing that when it comes to men, I need to learn to be more clear.
Since we knew that episode one, responsible like bitch. Episode one, this was the learning. So, and here how we have are, we progressed? And,
wow.
It's so interesting though, because given like, so when people are like, oh my God, you dropped all your hoes, what do you mean? You're not rooting or whatever. I was like, it's my frustration with the whole thing is that I specialize in speaking clearly and articulately. Like, I say what I mean what I say, and it gets so frustrating because to this day, people will misread me. I could say my intentions clear as day, and yet some people will be like, well, is that what you meant? And so I had to think about how have I gotten it wrong in terms of hookup culture where people don't understand that I want all of it. Like, I want all, like, I want a pseudo relationship or not. It's like that. I just don't understand why I can't have everything, and especially when it's communicated as well. And so I remember the like one of the last messages I sent to this guy that I ended up ghosting. I just deleted Tinder. I can't be bothered. He was like, "What do you want?" And I just said, "I just want something." And I was like, "Realistically, I want good sex or I want a husband." I said, "I want something not mandatory. I want intimacy and romance without the pressure of having it develop into anything significant. But I'm also aware that I view intimacy and romance as two separate things. I don't want to have to prove that I'm worthy of being somebody's girlfriend. I just want something turbo and uncomplicated and nobody's ready for it. And so until they are, I'll be here." And then I was like, you know what? Fuck off. I can't be bothered. Because even then I know for sure somebody will find a flaw and be like, but wait, what do you mean? It's all there. It's literally all there.
Yeah. So you mean you haven't found, like, have you been going on dates right now?
I stopped after like the within the last month I just stopped on everything just because it was almost like I rarely do things that I don't that don't receive the intended result. You know what I mean? I don't go into things and be like, you know what, it's not really what I wanted, but this will do. No, I know what I want. I know how I'm going to get it. And if I don't have that information, I will find it. Dating is an area that I've troubleshot to death. Like, I have tried so many different things and I just need to clear my head and back the fuck off. Like, it's not helping me. And again, it's not even emotional labor, but just the sort of time, energy, mental capacity you need to develop to not only engage with people on a platonic level, but a romantic level, an intimate level, a sexual level, and then still not yield the results you want. What kind of loser's game?
I see.
And it's one of those things where I've had experiences that tick those boxes and they still haven't worked out, but I had the experience. These latter ones, it's like I wasn't even getting exactly what I wanted. So, like, which bit is gratifying? And I would be calling myself, like, a selfish, naive millennial if I hadn't already compromised in areas that I didn't think I needed to compromise in. So it might have been, like, tolerating a guy who had a great mind but shit dick. You know, I did that. I don't want to do it anymore. Or tolerating a bad attitude but good stroke. Like, I did that. I don't want to do it anymore. And so why should I, you know? And and it's one of those things where I might find that, you know, I might have to compromise, you know, like, tolerate what I can get. But until that point, like, no thanks, it's fine.
Wow. And I appreciate that, actually.
But I like also don't energy. Think, like, I don't think it's a radical act either, you know what I mean? It's one of those things where if it's not benefiting me, then I don't want to do it. And I know you heard me like, oh, you know, there are some things you should do. Altruism is very important. Then you do that. You be altruistic so I don't have to. You work a 9-to-5 so I don't have to. You tolerate boys who need therapists so I don't have to. It's fine. We don't have to navigate the world in the same way for us to both have valid lived experiences. It's okay.
I'm crying.
And I might even find that right now I'm just a little bit burnt out from dating. You know what I mean? Like, I was going at it with intention for at least 6 months. That's a lot for anyone, really. I'm not talking, because you hoes think you're dating with intention, but haven't swiped right on one person, but haven't started one conversation, but haven't initiated one date. Like, no, you're not dating. You're loitering around men hoping for somebody to pick you.
Please drag me. Can you attack me by my hair follicles?
Dragged, snatched. I have been proactively dating, initiating, asking, putting myself out there, organizing. Some experiences have been fantastic, others I could live without, and I just know I've hit a limit. So I need to recharge, replenish, get my vitals up, and then go back in. But until then, I'm good.
Yeah.
And literally, I'm not missing out. Because I know how frustrating it is to navigate these relationships. I'm well aware of what the alternative is.
Yeah, no, you're not missing out. But when you find your white king...
Oh, babes.
Who is rich and yes. cross-continental.
Yes. Tall also. Will be there.
What is it with all of you guys and tall men?
Because like, the world prioritizes men? Tall people. I'm well aware of that. I'm not a dummy. Look, it's very clear. Tell me you don't regard tall people and short people in the same way, and you can say you do, but it's not true. You see a tall person, you say, oh, you must be an athlete. You must be a model. You're way more attractive. Why? Because you associate positive characteristics with tall people. You don't look at a short person and go, oh, you would be XYZ. No. You're like, wait, where's their ego? Do they have problems with power dynamics? Blah, blah. Hold on, it's my doorbell.
Wow.
And as I was saying, I would like to date somebody tall because I'm aware of the privileges that exist in the world. I might have tall privilege, pretty privilege, white privilege, cultural privilege, like all the privileges I would like my child to have. The privilege of education. Let's not play it like these things don't matter. Because look, your biases run deep.
Honestly, one of the reasons that I'm not interested in having children is because I know that, well, I have like at least 5 reasons, but one of them is that I know that this kid will be black and I know what it's like to be black in this world. So fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't, on top of the ozone layer will be gone soon. Climate change is ruining us, killing us every day. And if she's a woman as well, nah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not ethical.
No, thank you.
It's just not ethical. And then it's just like, I don't trust that raising a child in the context of romance is conducive for like happiness or emotional well-being. So, you know?
Okay, so I'm going to take my hurt feelings just to the other side of the room. I'll be back shortly. Thank you so much. No, it's honestly, I'm so fine.
I'm screaming. But have fun raising your mega child. I'm kidding.
My slave bitch. What do you call it?
Your nigga bitch.
Oh, gosh. But really, look, these are the things that, this is why we're critical thinkers, because I'm aware of what I can consciously be aware of why I want things, what the outcome of it is. We talked about it in the self-awareness episode. Like, there is a reason why I am predisposed to certain things, experiences, people, because I've seen the outcome. It's positive. People are like, well, then why are you letting people call you an influencer if you don't want to be one? Have you seen the way you regard me? Why don't you just work in an office? Have you seen the way you regard office people?
The honesty is too much.
Why don't you just date someone with a good heart who's not attractive? Have you seen the way you regard unattractive people?
I'm crying. All of my exes were unattractive. This is my first time dating a guy who's attractive. And it's actually just a whole different experience.
I'm yelling at that self-awareness. All my
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All my friends know me as, like, we're really happy that you date all the unattractive men because we simply will not. Ooh. Like, I'm a philanthropist in this bitch. Wow. But the gag is they'll still cheat.
No! Well, that's a personal problem. You can't help that.
He will literally look like Donald Trump and still cheat on you. So you might as well.
Donald Trump.
You might as well date Idris Elba and call it a day. You Damn. Know?
Babes, it is all out here. I am yelling at this whole conversation. I immediately want to put us all on probation. But honestly, the way I see it, if we don't say it, who will? Because that's honestly... this is what I'm finding. Let me tell you, after these podcast episodes and after I post something on Instagram that requires thought on the feed, not on the stories, but if I do a feed post after this podcast, the way you hoes will come to my DMs instead of saying on the public Bobo and Flex IG that you think the way you do. You carry your shame with you into my DMs for me to process.
Be public.
Say it in public. Let the community talk to you.
Be shameless with your chest.
Literally.
With your chest, fam.
Why do you think we operate from a place of abundance? Because fear and shame are not metrics that hold us back.
Ooh.
Like, so, like, and it's one of those things where as soon as you acknowledge everybody is fearful and everybody carries shame, you do yourself, like, no services to lean into that. It's not cute. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody who's fearful about something and you're kind of like, oh, I just can't relate. Like, I can't, like, or someone who, like, doesn't want to, like, me. Whenever I'm around a friend and I don't want to try new food, nobody can empathize or sympathize because it's not cute to fear things generally. Or like when you have a friend who's scared of heights and she's like shaking on the plane, you're like, shh, you're causing a ruckus. Be quiet. Or when you have a friend and you're at the bar and her ex-boyfriend walks in and her face goes white and she's freaking out trying to talk about, let's leave, but you're trying to tune this guy in the corner. No, bitch. Take your fear and shame to the bathroom. Clean up, do some affirmations, send a text, and keep it pushing.
Right, and keep it pushing. Because we don't have time. We just simply don't have
time. And I
time.
Wish we did, but the way, like, the way I'm reminded of the fact that the world is ending, let me tell you.
Oh, absolutely. And I will make sure to end every episode reminding everyone that we're all going to die.
So soon.
And the world is ending.
So soon.
You're literally, your life is ending sooner than you think.
Even if you have 10 years or 100 years, you don't have enough time for all this growing that you don't want to do.
To postpone your happiness and not grow?
Gosh.
Absolutely not, fam.
We're like, I'm out here thinking about, I need to text my hoes back because the world is ending. Like, shit's ending too soon for me not to get that problematic stroke. But you know what? I carry some shame too. The shame of doubling back. My pride will never allow.
Never.
The amount of guys in my life, at different circumstances, who have tried to be like, no, I don't want a serious relationship. We can't do this. To like, oh, wait, I actually want to be with you. I'm like, where's your pride? I would never.
Say, I'm so shook when people are like, oh, me and my boyfriend break up all the time. I'm like, oh, I could never. Okay. I that's could never.
All right. Well,
that's how people live, you know?
Should we do some listener questions?
Yeah. Should we do it in a separate episode?
Yeah, let's do that because there are like 1,000. There are 1,000.
All right, fam, follow us on Bobo and Flex and stay tuned for the next episode where we answering your questions. Send in your questions to Bobo and Flex, our Instagram page. Don't DM us individually because that's just, it's a lot of DMs. It's
unless you're coming with the PayPal receipt information.
Absolutely. paypal.me/BoboM. What's your PayPal?
paypal.me/FlexMami.
There we have it. So stay tuned for the next episode. Subscribe, follow us on SoundCloud, Apple Music, and Spotify. Leave us a review because it helps us make more content. And we'll see you in the next episode. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50.
luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.